Okay. Richard is going to open us in prayer.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together today on this wonderful, brand new day of the week. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you've given us another day of life. We come humbly before your throne of grace and mercy in the name of your Son, Jesus, to glorify you, to honor you, to lift up your name. Lord, we thank you for all the things you've done for us, how you brought us over highways and byways of life, Lord. You brought us through the valleys. Lord, you brought us to this point in time, Lord, that we can praise you and glorify you, Lord. We're so thankful that you have chosen us to be your servants. So, Lord, we bless you today. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we lift up this service right now, Father, that you would please take over every aspect of it, Lord God. Remove us and let your Holy Spirit have its way. Holy Spirit, come on in. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in to have your way. And everything that will be done and said will bring you, Father, glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would open our ears to hear. Let our minds just submit to you and our hearts submit to you today, Lord, as we hear what is being said, and we will remember and retain it, Lord, and glorify you every moment of this day and any other day that you bless us to be a part of this life. Lord, we pray that you would block distraction, chaos, and confusions that may come into the lives of those that are on this call and as we are here today, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would not let those that want to call in be blocked from calling, Lord God, that you would allow them to call in as well. Lord, thank you, Father, for Alexandra and Tammy for reading the word. Thank you, Lord, that the word will come clear to our ears, Lord God. Bless them, and then bless Jeanette, Father. She brings forth your word only the way that you can do it. So we ask that you would help Jeanette decrease and your Holy Spirit in her increase. Lord, we praise you for this moment in time, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, a little bit of a recap. Good morning, who just joined us.
Good morning, Carol.
Hey, good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, good morning.
Okay, so where we are, we're in 2 Samuel, and let's skip right over to the 16th chapter. Not exactly a skip, but that's about where we are. Now, on the 16th chapter, David has fled Jerusalem. The king has left his city. He's taken everybody with him but the concubines, and he left them to look after the house. And he fled very early. Fortunately for David, he got the message early enough to be out of there, it looks like, before noon. Because it looks like Absalom's band of renegades are arriving in Jerusalem, but David has already cleaned everything out. They made haste, as we read last week. They made haste and got out of there. When you know trouble is coming, you know, do what you can to avoid it.
Yes.
David could have taken the position of, I'm just going to stand and I got this, we'll fight. But he went with that. His initial response was get out of there and get everybody out as fast as possible. He listened to that. He moves out. He's walking this walk of shame. We talked about how David had no shoes on, had his head covered. And then we had this guy, Shimei, who was just throwing rocks at him and talking all kinds of crap about, oh, you know, David is a bloodthirsty man, and David this. And this was a man from the house of Saul. And the more I looked into it, it looked like this guy lost 7 members of his family, and he blamed David for that. But what do you think? Somebody on this call, tell me, what do you think was on David's mind as this man was talking about how he's bloodthirsty?
Uriah.
He was thinking about Uriah. He was thinking about the innocent blood that he shed over Bathsheba. Now we know that this is very many years later, but that prophecy had not come to fruition yet that Nathan had spoken. Now I'm gonna tell you something. When we do wrong and we have done wrongdoing, and you know God's word, which says that it's not going to go unrevealed. I don't know which was worse, having to flee Jerusalem this way, running from his own son, or what's hanging over your head waiting for it to happen. Because if God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Sometimes it's in this life. Sometimes you're going to pay in the life to come. But often, just knowing it's coming is bad enough.
Yes.
Because you really don't have much rest or much sleep when you know that you got something out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's on your heels.
Right.
You know it's going to catch up with you. What can I urge you to do? What was the example set by David when David was caught in his sin? First thing he did is repent.
Yeah.
And humbly say, whatever the Lord does, I accept. Maybe, this is David's words, maybe he'll have mercy on me. But now he's living it out. And this Shimei guy is following him and throwing rocks. And there's only a ravine between them. So when Abishai, remember who Abishai is, Joab's brother, says, I can go take care of this. We don't have to listen to this clown throwing rocks at us and calling us names. David, you're the king. But what did David say? Okay, that's where we'll start. Let's go to the fifth chapter. I mean, the fifth verse of chapter 16. We're in 2 Samuel.
Okay, fifth. Okay, sounds good. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he
stop right there Shimei, for a sec. Hold on 1 sec. Remember who we said was the special people on the right and the left?
The
600 mighty men. The 600 mighty men that had gone with him into so many battles.
Wow.
And who were these 600 mighty men? Were they Israelites that had all, left Saul's kingdom to join David? But they were basically renegades. But were they Israelites?
Yeah.
Lots of them were not. I want you to get a glimpse of this because this is a beautiful thing when the Lord showed it to me. Remember, and somebody was saying to me recently, so really, basically, the Bible is really all about the Jews. You know, the history, the Old Testament is the history of the Jews, and then the New Testament is a lot of Paul and, you know, welcoming the Gentiles. But I want to challenge you right now to think about this. So many of this 600 men were from other neighboring nations, Hittites, even from Gath, where they had where David had slain Goliath. Even people from there. Because remember, what a beautiful thing. In the time of David's running, it forced him out of Israel and into other nations.
Oh, yes.
Even Ammonites had accepted him at certain points. He was even staying with them. And then he would leave those places with some of them. Warriors. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that in God's plan, it all along, he was including Gentiles. These are the ones walking on the sides of the King of David. King David. These are Gentiles. Some of them, and some of them are Israelites that had, you know, deflected Israel because of Saul and whatnot, didn't like how Saul was running things. But a lot of these were just renegades and people that were, you know, cast out from their own countries or fleeing their own countries.
Right.
What an honor to defend the king. That's why I see it as so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor to walk alongside God's chosen one. And he mm-hmm. bestowed that honor on lots of people, people from many nations, not just Israel. Okay.
As he cursed, Shemaiah said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of the son of Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Then Abisha, son of Zariah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David then said,
stop right there. I want you to remember something. I want you to see a parallel. Does this sound familiar to anybody? David is saying to Abishai and Joab, what is wrong with you? What do I have to do with you? As in, I have nothing to do with this. What is it with you guys? The same as Jesus said to the sons of Zebedee, who wanted to destroy all these Samaritan people just because they didn't tell, because they told them, you can't walk through our town. Does anybody remember that story? Jesus is on his way to Galilee, and from where he's coming, it's easy to go through Samaria. And the Samaritan said, you're coming through here. You guys go around. Around is a long way. And immediately the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they said, why don't we just call thunder out of heaven and destroy them? And Jesus rebuked them and said, you sons of thunder. He called them sons of thunder after that. And that's exactly what David is saying right here. Same thing. Let him curse. Why? And then what is he saying? Because God has allowed it.
Right.
Remember, David knows the prophecy, and David is already in shame, and he's carrying himself as a person humbled by shame. But these guys are like, man, let me go take care of this. We don't have to listen to that. Those of us in our walk, and that could be looked at as zealousness for the king, but not only did King David rebuke it, but so did Jesus. Again, don't be quick to take up your hand over an insult.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard not to for some of us that have that, you know, strong propensity towards defending ourselves. But David immediately, king, and warrior, don't forget the character of David, not just the king, not just the songwriter, but a warrior.
Yeah.
And not one to be reckoned with. But he immediately recognizes, if God is allowing this, who am I to do anything about it? Let it go. Don't go avenging on my behalf. You don't need to do that. Because God has put this in place. Keep going.
What wisdom. David then said to Abisha and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood, is trying to kill me. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me his covenant blessing instead of his curse today. So David,
I want you to stop there for 1 second.
Sure.
This is important. As David is accepting the shame and the penalty of what he did when he with Bathsheba, mm-hmm. and what was spoken by the prophet that would happen, and it's happening right now. But what is David saying? I want you to hear this, because we will find ourselves in these very same footsteps.
Amen.
Those yes. of us who, you know, walk perfectly, well, maybe not, but I don't think we're on earth. As long as you're here on earth, you're going to keep having areas that you made mistakes, or you should have done it a little differently.
Yes.
Or just, let's call it what it is, sometimes just plain sin, and you got caught up.
Mm-hmm.
So when God is reprimanding you, what did David say? How about I accept what is coming to me?
Ooh.
And then he says, maybe God.
Hmm.
Maybe God. Who sees that I'm not fighting back, not going to avenge this Benjaminite who's mad about his family and the dynasty being taken from his father. How about maybe God will see me in this affliction and see that I'm handling it humbly, and maybe he'll just change his mind and lighten this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens when we take on something's happening to you because you brought it on your doggone self, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, you know, religious persecution. This is something happening because you brought it on yourself. How about change your attitude about it, accept it, humble yourself before the Almighty, and see what God is willing to do.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
I can't stress how many times we see these excellent examples on how David handles conflict in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a lesson there.
Yes.
Okay.
So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite of him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people were it's kind of funny, I'm sorry. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination, exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the men of Israel came to Jerusalem. And
stop there for a sec.
Okay.
I just want to make a distinction. When we're talking about Absalom and all the people of Israel, we're talking about the other 10 tribes. When we're talking about David, because we're going to get there, David is talking about the men of Judah or the other two tribes. This is the southern, I don't know how much this matters, but it's the southern 10 tribes that are being referred to as Israel. It's not all of Israel. It doesn't include the men of Judah and a lot of the men of Benjamin. And why would the men of Benjamin, that was the dynasty of Saul, why would a lot of those men support David? Anybody have a clue?
Probably because they know the promise that God had given to David.
Richard said maybe because they knew the promise that was given. Any other? Partly, how about that even when David was made king, he still honored Saul? Remember the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song he wrote about Saul? He honored him.
Yes.
He wrote this beautiful song about Saul. He honored the king. And when people wanted to come bragging that they killed Saul, he killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that when God begins to lift you up, you don't have to lift yourself up by disrespecting those who've come before you.
Amen.
A lot of us, because we're growing in Christ and we still have this need to feel important or to be recognized, we'll start stepping on somebody else's head to get there. David didn't do that. Everybody knew how Saul had just completely dogged David out. Everybody knew. David could have said a lot of things and nobody could have disputed it, but he only spoke highly of Saul and then had all of the people grieve. So Judah and Benjamin stand with David. That's the northern kingdom. Okay.
Meanwhile, Absalom and all the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. Then Hushai the Archite, David's confidant, went to Absalom and said to him, "Long live the king! Long live the king!"
Absalom, stop right there. Stop right there for a second. Hushai, who is he? We talked about him last week. He's an old confidant of David's. Good friend. He's been advising David for years. Hushai went to David. You wouldn't. I don't think you were on the call.
Oh, okay.
So Hushai went to David and said, "I'm with you, man. Let's go. I'm going to go with you all the way. Wherever you go, I'm going." And David said, "No, Hushai, for you to come with me would actually be a burden. You're not going to find out until later." What David was talking about is Hushai is 80 years old.
Wow.
And these men are running for their lives. So I don't need you to come with me and then somebody's got to carry you. I don't want you to be. I don't want to worry about you when the battle ensues. These people are going to be coming to kill me. So Hushai, you want to do me a favor? I'll tell you what to do. If you want to do something for me, go back to Jerusalem and pledge yourself to Absalom, so that you can keep me informed as to what they're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and spy for me. Would you do that? And confuse the advice of Ahithophel, because this man, what did we say last week? He had advice that they considered as powerful as the advice that they were getting when they inquired of the Lord. That's how good this man's advice is. So Absalom's got David's number one advisor, which is Ahithophel, working for him now. And so David is like, "Oh, this is not good. So how about Hushai, go and see if you can confuse the advice of Ahithophel." Okay.
Hushai said to Absalom, "Know the one chosen by the Lord, by these people and by all the men of Israel. His I will be, and I will remain with him. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the son? Just as I served your father, so I will serve you." Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give us your advice. What should we do?" Ahithophel answered, "Sleep with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself obnoxious to your father, and the hands of everyone with you will be more resolute." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he slept with his father's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. Now,
let's stop there for a second. I know, isn't that calm?
Yes, so like I just can't even.
But that advice was great, Ahithophel's advice. Why? Because the people are now getting, you know, divided and don't know which way to go. And how do we know that David and his son are not going to kiss and make up? Because Absalom has done some mess in the past, and David led him back.
True.
So let's do something that will rip the wall, or the bond between the father and the son forever, is Ahithophel's advice, and it's great advice. Because then all the people will know, well, surely, you know, this can't be repaired. But I want to point out something else that has hit me. Notice that this, now remember, this was all prophesied by Nathan that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But take a look at this. They pitched the tent on the roof.
Mm-hmm. So everybody can see.
Everybody can see, but you know what else happened on that roof?
Bathsheba and David.
That's the very roof where David was watching Bathsheba.
No way. Wow.
The very thing that David is right now being pursued by his enemies and this terrible thing has come upon him, if you can't miss it, it's the same spot that all this crap started.
Wow.
Remember, Nathan said, what was done hidden will be made public.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
God has a way, and even in, hey, Sheba, God has a way of bringing us all the way back. So we can't claim we don't know what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He will bring you back. Sometimes he'll use his spirit, and he'll bring to your mind when you did this very thing that is now blowing up in your face.
Mm. Mm.
So here we go. Keep going.
Now, in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. Wow. That, wow. That's pretty profound. That, right? That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. Incredible. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Ahithophel said to Absalom, I would choose 12,000 men and set out tonight in pursuit of David. I would attack him while he is weary and weak. I would strike him with terror, and then all the people with him will flee. I would strike down only the king and bring all the people back to you. The death of the man you seek will mean the return of all. All the people will be unharmed. This plan seemed good to Absalom and to all the elders of Israel.
Okay, but let's stop right there.
Okay.
Now, remember, Ahithophel is giving excellent counsel. Not
right.
Good, excellent counsel. I want you to know that David and his men could not have been more than 15 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they started their journey around noon that day. And now we have Absalom in the kingdom, you know, taking things. And the first counsel he gets is to make this tear between his Absalom and his father permanent by sleeping with the concubines. Now, the next thing you need to do, according to Ahithophel, is now get out there and track him now. You know, he can't be but 15 miles out, and that's on a good day because it's a whole bunch of them trying to move. So he's saying, go get him now while he's tired. When you jump on him, he will be get confused and afraid, and we won't have to slaughter a whole bunch of people. So all I need is 12,000 men to get that accomplished. Let me go now. Great advice. Keep going.
But Absalom said, summon also Hushai, the Archite, so we can hear what he has to say as well. When Hushai came to him, Absalom said, Ahithophel has given this advice. Should we do what he says? If not, give us your opinion. Hushai replied to Absalom, the advice of Ahithophel has given us not good this time. Uh-oh. You know your father and his men. They are fighters and have fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Even now, he is hidden in a cave or some other place. If he should attack your troops first, whoever hears about it will say, there has been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom. Then even the bravest soldier, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt with fear. For all Israel knows that your father is a fighter and that those with him are brave. So I advise you that all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous as the sand on the seashore, be gathered to you, with you, yourself, leading them into battle. Then we will attack him wherever he may be found, and we will fall on him as dew, settles on the ground. Neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. If he withdraws into the city, then all of Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we will drag it down to the valley until not so much as a pebble is left. Absalom and all his men of Israel said, "The advice of Husai, the Archite, is better than that of Ahithophel, for the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom."
Okay, let's stop there. Let's stop there for a sec.
Sure.
Okay. So we have Hushai. He comes in and he says, this time Ahithophel's advice is not so great, which is to give the impression that he was down with him sleeping with the concubines. No, that was okay. But
yeah.
Now this time, when okay, now this is a little bit of a sidebar, but when you want people to hear you, don't spend too much time trashing somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he's doing here is acknowledging that, oh, we know Ahithophel has great advice, but this time,
mm-hmm.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the ear now of the king, because he's not coming in all, you know, obviously opposed. And then he gives this advice that is doing what? Let's look at it carefully. First thing he does is he says that David is enraged. Was David enraged?
No.
David left humbly, barefoot.
Always.
Let me tell you what else he left. He even left his royal mule, which when you look in through different parts of the Old Testament, often the kings had a royal mule, and this mule is like, and remember when Absalom was trying to impress the people? He comes riding on this mule and with all of this 100 runners ahead of him, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, David didn't even take his royal mule. But what is he appealing to? He says, David is enraged. It's like a bear. And back in the Syrian bears, just so you know, remember, do we remember that David is also a shepherd?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So when you compare him to a bear, well, yeah. David will be like a wild bear, and the Syrian bears were known to be so ferocious. He's going to be mad like you took his cubs away. What is he striking in the heart of Absalom? Richard said fear. He's planting his own seeds.
Yeah, I agree.
Ahithophel said that David would get confused and would be an easy takedown if he go get him now. What has Hushai advised? He says, no, go get this vast army all the way down to Dan, this southern tip. What is he buying for David but time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's given David time to do something. And then he says, hey, your dad is such a warrior, and he, you know, is such an accomplished fighter that he's not even with the army now. You're going to go out there and going to start taking losses because David, knowing David, he's hiding in some cave or some pit somewhere. If we, those of you who have followed this entire story, that's how David operated, right? Remember how he snuck up on Saul because he was in the cave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, David could be anywhere, and he can pounce on you from anywhere. But really, now David is an old man, and he's fleeing for his life. But he's appealing to Absalom, and he keeps going. And then he starts pumping Absalom up. Because if you go with Ahithophel's advice, then it's just going to look like in the middle of, you know, by evening when it got dark, we were upon them and we fell on, when we wiped them out, and I'll just bring back David. Dead. Everybody mm-hmm. else lives. No problem. But what Hushai is suggesting will make Absalom look good. Absalom is going to go mightily into the battle to show, you know, this is me. I'm doing this. So now he's a first he appealed to the fear. Now he's appealing to pride. And he knew he could appeal to fear because Absalom obviously was a coward. So let me see. When you're trying to do something, you better think about how you come about it if you want the results you want.
Amen.
So Hushai used wisdom, knowing who Absalom is. Mm-hmm. Remember how Absalom killed the brother Ammon over his sister Tamar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Absalom didn't do it. He set up all this stuff, and then he said, and when I say do this, go kill him. He had him killed, but Absalom didn't do the killing. Absalom doesn't have that much heart. But David does. David's an accomplished warrior. So what he bought him is quite a bit of time. So, and when I say quite a bit, we're talking about between 2 and 3 weeks now before the pursuit of David even starts. That gives David time to count everything out and the people out and who's going to fight and where we're going to come from and all of it. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
But, oh, I don't want to miss 14. The advice of Hushai is better, for the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel with the intent to bring disaster on Absalom. I want to bring this up because I think it's important. A lot of times when we pray, when we're seeking God for something, and we need God to move, we have to do our part.
Amen.
That's true.
We have to do our part. There's something you may have to do. For one, Hushai was very brave to go and try to pull this off.
Oh, yeah.
That he's no longer loyal to David. Next thing, look at how God is working through the circumstances provided. Hushai is there to confuse the council of Ahithophel. But if Hushai wasn't there, look how God works through our efforts is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Hushai really all that wise? Was David so wise because he sent him there? No, that's all David had, okay? David is working with what he has. That's what we are required to do. Work with what you have. Do your part so God can bless your efforts.
Amen.
If you're not willing to do anything but just sit there and say, well, I asked God for it, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got something you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Say it to me.
Okay.
That's faith. Amen.
Okay, next.
Hushai told Zadok and Abathar the priest, Ahithophel has advised Absalom and the elders of Israel to do such and such, but I have advised them to do so and so. Now send a message at once and tell David, do not spend the night at the fords in the wilderness. Cross over without fail, or the king and all the people with him will be swallowed up. Jonathan and Ahimaaz were staying at Enrogel. A female
Hold
servant.
Hold on one sec there, Isandra. Hold on one sec. I don't want to miss this. Now, even though Hushai, last word Hushai got, and those who were on call last week, we know that the sons of Zadok the priest are going to deliver. They're in between. Because the priests are being carefully watched by Absalom's people. Because they know these priests have worked for David. So they're being carefully watched. So the priest is using his sons to get the message to David. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But what I want you to see here is Hushai gives the message that this is what is going on. Ahithophel has advised that we come on you right this minute.
Right.
What I can see is I gave different advice, and the advice I gave is to make them wait and gather all these people and crown Absalom king, all this stuff, which will buy you some time. But don't take that chance. Go tonight. Get all of the people moving. Get them on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't know that Absalom won't change his mind. What is important in that? What do you see there? One thing that jumps out at me is don't underestimate your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us get very flippant when we're dealing in spiritual matters or strongholds or things in our life. So we go and we commit some kind of a sin, and we say, yeah, but I am repentant and God will forgive me. We're good. That's the last thing I read in the Bible that said God forgives. But what Hushai is suggesting is don't put it past. Absalom could change his mind, so don't get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get comfortable. Keep it moving. What does that look like in our lives? Don't get comfortable. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Don't think because you went to church last Sunday, maybe you went to Bible study on Wednesday, and you haven't really prayed or read your Bible on your own since. But it's cool. I'll get it from Jeanette on Sunday. No, keep it moving. Keep knowing that you've got a lion seeking whom he may devour on your tail.
Amen.
You don't know what the adversary's next plot against your mission or your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So don't assume I'm good. Well, I didn't do, but the Wednesday night Bible study was real good. So I'll have to read tomorrow. I don't have to read the next day either.
Mm.
I don't have to seek the Lord. I'm just going to, take it a little easy because, I've done some stuff. Got a word from the priest's sons that all well. You've got an enemy. Don't go to sleep on it.
Amen.
Don't go to sleep on being aware of that this enemy is still plotting against you. Let me tell you who doesn't sleep.
Yes, ma'am.
Your enemy.
That's right. I agree.
So Absalom could have said, yeah, and Hushai's already sent off this message. But Hushai's with wisdom. He's saying, hey, even though this is the message you're getting, then they said they're going to go with my advice. Don't get comfortable. Children of God, we should never be getting comfortable. Because you've got a lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. You have a relentless enemy who's constantly plotting against you.
Amen.
Don't think you have enough, you've done enough, you're good.
Amen.
None of us are good. We're in a battle, and we're in a battle until the Lord takes us home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lay down your sword and your shield and go to sleep.
Hmm.
What's happening right now? God is waking his people up everywhere because they've been asleep.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to skip over because I want you to hear the heart of David at this time while he's fleeing his son. And Tammy's going to take us to Psalms, the third chapter.
Okay, I'm reading in NIV. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful thing.
Amen.
That's now, so did beautiful. He stop in the middle of this moment and pen this? Or did he remember how he felt when it was happening? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think he penned this, you know, one of these nights in the 2 or 3 weeks. And what is he talking about? He's talking about that the Lord, how they've increased and all of this trouble and those that have risen up against me. He's identifying the problem. When we go to the Lord in prayer, identify the problem. If you have wherewithal to speak to the Lord, talk to him about what's happening. Does God know what's happening?
Yes, he does. He does.
Of course he does.
Yes.
Of course he does. But talk to him about the concerns of your heart. Why? Because that's what people do when they have a relationship with somebody.
Amen.
What does God require of us? What is he desirous of us? He desires that we have a relationship with him. And that's what you cannot miss in this psalm. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. That is one of the indicators that this happened while David was fleeing Absalom, because the holy hill was Jerusalem, where his home was. But then he says, I lay down to sleep. I lay down and slept. Do you think you could have slept in these circumstances?
Mm. Nope.
No.
He got rest in this circumstance. I would have been sleeping, sitting up with my sword in my hand all night. But because he acknowledges God, he can sleep. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. He knows that he has a relationship with the Lord, where the Lord is with him. No matter how this goes, God is with him. And the mere fact that he slept says he had a portion of peace.
Amen.
A portion of peace. Sometimes in our trials, we won't have perfect peace, but we may have a portion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
A portion of peace. And where is he getting this portion? Because he's acknowledging God.
Amen. Amen.
You got a half kingdom out to kill you. You got your son out to kill you. And yet he can sleep at night? Don't tell me he's not troubled. Of course he's troubled. But he has a portion of peace. And sometimes we need to just thank God for that.
Amen.
A portion of peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Jay, this is Fran.
Yes.
I have a question.
Hey, Fran. Yes.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How you said that, we're a lot of us are asleep and we're being woken up. So can we not rely on the Lord to wake us up in time? Because I feel like I was asleep for a long time until you came back home to help your mom and your family. And I'm hoping that if I'm still not fully awake, that he's going to give me an opportunity to wake up, and that I may not necessarily be the one that's driving it. Is that true or is that not true?
When you accept it, when you willingly listened, when you willingly considered the things that you were being told, that is why you were awakened. You could have wanted to continue to sleep, but there, God's hand was already on your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he's the one who's waking you up, and he will finish the good work he's begun in you.
Amen.
He's the one who woke you up, and he's the one who will continue. Remember how that went that day? I was going in another direction, and the Lord said, no, go up the street today.
Mm-hmm.
That was his spirit guiding me, because he had Fran up the street asleep.
Totally asleep. Sound asleep. And I had no idea how I was going to change the situation at all. None. no job, you know, dealing with family member dynamics, and just tired.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I'm hoping that
God has not forgotten. He was going to finish the work he's begun in you, and now the times are getting short, and he knew also that you were going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that just a few years down the road, not very many, not the two, your mother was going to be passing. He knew the turmoil that was going to be awakened in your life as everything appeared to be unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
So he made sure you were equipped to face it.
Mm, praise God.
And here we are again back to a portion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
No, it's not easy when you lose a loved one. No, it's not easy when you're in a wilderness. Mm-hmm. Nowhere, it's not easy when you're facing temptation.
Come on now.
No, it's not easy when you're facing illness, when you've been attacked, when you've lost a job. It's not easy. But is there a portion of peace?
Come home.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
What a beautiful thing. So now our time is up. Mm-hmm. It looks like, it is? Oh, okay.
5 minutes.
So let's look at, I'm going to wrap this real quick as we look at David. After David acknowledges God, acknowledges his problem, then he acknowledges that God is allowing him to sleep, that God is with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God." Because he knows only God can save him. What does he say? "For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone." Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about? He's talking about that they, like lions, if you knock out the teeth of the lion, you've gotten rid of his bite.
Hmm.
That's why the next sentence says, "You have broken the teeth of the ungodly."
Ooh.
He doesn't mean that they got punched in the jaw. He's referring the ungodly to wild animals.
You need the teeth of the lion.
But a wild animal without its teeth. And you've done it for me before, Lord.
Yes,
that's what he's saying.
Yes.
He's not saying, "I need you to do this now." He's saying, "You have struck all my enemies. You've knocked out my enemies' teeth." What is that telling us when we're in prayer, when we're in a wilderness, when we're in a terrible situation? Acknowledge what God has done in the past. He's unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
He's still with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you were able to subdue the Amorites, the Hittites, the people of Gath, I know you're with me now. What a beautiful thing. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. You'll see the Selah at the end of that chapter, at the end of that psalm, and you'll see it many, many times at the end of Psalms. It is understood that that's just a musical direction. It's either that the next is either higher, the next part of the song is in a higher octave, or that certain instruments come in at a certain time, but that's what Selah means. It's some sort of musical direction. The people of that time knew what it was.
Hmm.
We'll take up the rest of this next week. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Do we have any prayer requests today?
I do. Just for my daughter and I have court tomorrow regarding the restraining order, and just that God has his will and gives us peace about it.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
I got a prayer request. This is Jeremiah. To pray for me that God leads me in the right path so I can do what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Amen.
Amen.
I have
anybody else?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Roxanne. My 22-year-old son Joseph is not wanting to stay at his dad right now. He'd rather live in his vehicle. He's going through a lot of mental attacks right now, and I just prayers for God to just cover him and put him on his path.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I do, Jay, from my brother Donald. He's going to have surgery on the 17th. They're looking to see if there's cancer somewhere in his body, and hopefully there's not, but we won't know until they go in and do this surgery. So if you could pray for him, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming before your throne of grace, and we're coming as a body. We're coming more than two or three, Lord. We're coming in, and we are expecting that you'll be in the midst of us, but I already see that you are. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. So we are going to touch and agree, Lord, and bring, as David did, remind you of your character, that you're faithful, you're just, you're loving, you're kind, your mercy endures forever.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As does your grace. And you are in charge of all things.
Yes, Lord.
So we bring Tammy before you, Lord, and she's got a court date coming up concerning this restraining order.
Yes, Lord.
And these things are hard on our little human nerves, Lord Jesus. And I know you know this.
And our heart.
Yes.
So I'm asking you, Lord, that you would give Tammy peace and courage and gird her up and help her stand, Lord.
Thank you.
Help Melinda also as she's attached to Tammy.
Yes, Lord.
Let virtue flow through Tammy to Melinda.
Yes, Father. Please, Father.
Let the grace that Tammy is standing in flow also to Melinda, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for Roxanne,
yes,
and her heart is heavy as her son makes choices that doesn't seem to be what's best. Thank you, Lord, for that. The Lord says that he is in it. And no matter what the choices are looking like, trust that God is in it.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Just
thank
like
you, Jesus.
We see this over and over again. Things can look very bad, but God is in it. You're being driven from the kingdom. God is in it.
Yes.
Half of Israel is trying to kill you. God is in it.
Yes, Lord.
God is in it.
Keep your eyes on him, not the circumstance. And
oh,
let it
amen.
Be.
Yes.
We lift Jeremiah up before you right now, Lord. And you know whatever his circumstances are, Lord, you know what they are. I'm asking you, Lord, to cut loose everything that binds him.
Yes, Father.
I'm asking you, Lord, that you would release your power into his life in a way that he has never known before. I ask you to lift him from his circumstances and set him on the road to his purpose, Lord.
Yes, Father.
There is no doubt, Lord, that he is called by you.
Yes, Lord.
Direct his path, Lord.
Please, Father.
Direct his path.
Thank you, Lord.
And do it by your hand.
Yes.
So that he would have no mistake that this is your doing. That he's not moving to the right or to the left without your hand on it, Lord.
Please, Father.
Use him in a mighty way. I already know that you will. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Fill him with your Holy Spirit afresh right now, today.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Francine's brother Donald, Lord. They're going to do this exploratory surgery. You know all about it. Not telling you something you don't see coming and didn't already know. First of all, I thank you for all the preservation that you've done in Donald's life, no matter where Donald has been or what Donald has done. You've kept your hand of protection on him, Lord.
Yes, amen.
And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would take the circumstances that he's facing today and use them to draw him into a relationship with you.
Please, Father.
Donald called on your name once in his life, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to please. You said you're married to a backslider. You said you never leave us or forsake us.
Yes.
Stand with even Donald. Stand with him, Lord Jesus.
Please, Lord.
Have your will in this matter concerning cancer, whether he has it or whether he does not. Stand with Donald. Extend grace and mercy and call Donald back into a relationship with you so that he'll know that he's not doing this alone.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. Praise your holy name.
Praise your Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Did I forget any prayer requests? We'll lift up Leroy, who's not on the call today. He had knee surgery. It seemed to be going well, but it was having some complications yesterday, and he had to go back to the hospital. We lift him up, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Mm. Touch his body and touch his soul.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, everyone.
You too. Love you all. Y'all have a blessed Sunday, too. Love y'all.
All right, Sheba.
Good to hear your voice, Sheba.
Good to hear all y'all's voice. Hi, hear your voice, too.
Yeah. All right, everyone. All right, Terrell.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye, Richard. Bye, Jay. Have a blessed day.
Bye. You too.